Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hamid, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Yes, remake the world. Remake the world. Shout out to our brother. Shout out to Nathan Allen Williams. And shout out to you on this Monday morning. Today is the 29th day of July. And it is also a day in the Islamic calendar, which I don't know. And most of the time it's because, you know, I don't know it because I've heard what it is, but right now I don't remember. But it was very easy for me to tell you that today is July 29th because, you know, I am an American citizen. And I came up in an American culture. And so, you know, I definitely keep, you know, tabs on what the day is, especially in my American culture. But, you know, of course, you know, being Muslim, there seems to be some obligation that, you know, we kind of put on ourselves that we have to know what day it is in the Islamic calendar, too. Well, the most important thing today is to know that you know what the day is. The day is in the American calendar. And that's what we really want to talk about today. This idea of living in the upload life and how the upload life is basically changing us. What the technology winded up doing, especially I'm talking about the technology winded up separating the generations. That's what they did. So why is this important to Muslims? It's just important that Muslims understand the way that the technology worked and the way that the technology advanced from what was going on in the pioneer generation to what's going on in the social media generation. We call it the social media generation because the advancements that happened in the social media generation winded up attracting the children.
Yeah, so it winded up attracting children, and you know, as we all know, technology has always moved on. When you become part of a culture, many times we don't follow the same design, the same ways and habits of our forefathers. You know, we don't listen to the same music that our parents did. We don't dress the same way that our parents did. What we do is we wind up just following the trends that are in the culture. And so we say, oh, yeah, well, that's normal. And we say it's normal because it's something that we did. So to some degree, we should always understand it to that degree, that we winded up following trends that was in the culture. But the problem that we have today is we have a different problem today because social media offers us a different problem. And I want you to hear this.
We all exist in this world where we can tweet at somebody or engage with somebody, could even be the President of the United States, and they might react to us back. Social media has thrust us all onto the head of a pin, socially speaking, existentially speaking. Even if they're on the other side of the planet, even if they have a lot more money than we do, we can still interact with them. We can still compete with them on engagement. They're inside of our world. We have a mimetic machine in our pocket where all of these people exist. So what is mimetic desire? Mimetic desire means that we're adopting another person's desire as our own, usually without even realizing that we're doing it. So social media has given us millions of mimetic models that we now have to contend with. Some people have went from having 10 mimetic models to now having a million. And we haven't quite come to grips as a culture with what that means for our mental and emotional health. There are two kinds of mimetic models. The first kind is called an external mediator of desire. These are models that are outside of our world. Whether because they exist in a different social sphere than we do, there's no possibility of us coming into contact with them, and certainly not becoming rivals with them. They're in some sense outside of our world of desire, outside of our world of competition. Now, these external models of desire can be real, or they can be fictional. The other kind of model is inside of our world, called internal mediators of desire. These are people that we do come into contact with, and there is a possibility of conflict or rivalry with these people. These are people that are in our family. These are people in our workplace. These are people that could even be our friends. It's easier to compare ourselves to them. These are the kinds of people that we look to as benchmarks, and we're far more likely to be envious of somebody that we went to high school with who now has a great job and a beautiful spouse than we are to be envious of the richest person in the world. The danger with external mediators of desire, with keeping up with people that are very successful, with people that have modeled a certain kind of lifestyle, is that there's no end to that process. All desire is a form of transcendence. We desire to go beyond the boundaries, to go just over the mountain, to be the kind of person that we don't feel that we currently are. Having positive models of desire to emulate is a very good thing. It's important to have people that model virtues and goodness that we would like. But we have to understand the limitations of any model. And understanding how the dynamic between us and our models changes in that scenario is really, really important. It's also important to understand when somebody is an internal model of desire to us, because in that case, we have to have boundaries. All desire comes from us feeling like we lack something. And that can bring us into a dangerous, vicious cycle, because there will always be another model to find. We have to choose our models wisely. We also have to know when the model is inflaming us with a desire for something that's going to bring real fulfillment, or whether it's going to bring a dopamine hit or allow us to fantasize about a life that we'll probably never have. And even if we did have it, would probably make us miserable. All you need to do is go on Instagram, spend 5 minutes, and you see lifestyles model. You see vacation destinations model, fashions, manners of speech, ways of engagement, ways of speaking, political preferences. All of these desires are modeled for us 24 hours a day, billions of them. And we need to understand the mimetic landscape social media, or else we'll become totally controlled by it.
Get smarter?
Okay, so I played this clip to give you an idea of how in today's modern world, words are being used to tell us that we are mimic. That we imitate other people. That's all that was saying. Mimetic desire. Another creative way to use words to say that we imitate other people. Another way to say that we mimic other people. To tell us that we have mimetic desires to be like people that are outside of ourselves. Basically meaning that we see the examples of rap stars, we see the examples of fashion models, and we start to utilize the fashion that is current or the same, similar to our generation. We're not going to dress like our parents dress, we're going to dress like our generation dresses. So, but it's being called mimetic desire, an external desire, basically. And then they have an internal desire, all right, which winds up being, I have an internal desire to be like, I think the best way to say it is, to be like my mother, my father, my brother, my sister, my neighbor, people that I hang out with. That's the basics of it. That's the, but I just want you to hear, rather than say it in simple terms that you and I, the pioneer generation, would be able to understand and follow and comprehend without having a dictionary in front of us, they use terms, these new terms. So they basically change the language. And in the process of changing the language for our children, then our children start to use that language, and then we ask them the question, well, what does the mimetic desire, what is that? What is that? What are you talking about? And then they have to try to explain to us what that means when they're basically saying the desire to mimic other people. Basically, that's what they're saying. And then they have these external desires and internal desires. That's the way that they're saying. But external desires means to act like somebody outside of yourself, to act like a movie star, to act like a rap star, to follow the fashion of the day, to eat to eat the food model of the day, that kind of thing. But internal desire, desire to be like my mom, or the desire to be like my dad, the desire to be like Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is an internal desire. The desire to be like the imam, to be like other people in the community, rather than just basically say that, you know, it has to be, well, this is a model of internal desire. So this idea that we have right now, we're on this program, and it's called Living the Upload Life. And what I'm doing is I'm doing the community a favor. I'm doing the community a favor. And I'm not looking for anything for it. I mean, you know, I'm doing the community a favor by exposing these things, so that you don't have to listen to what's online and then have to go get your dictionary. Go get your dictionary. Well, let me see what domestic desire means. Let me see what the internal desire is. You know, let me go ahead and follow that. Because you don't have time for that. You're not going to do that. You have other things that you want to do. But what it does is it separates, again, it separates the generations. That's what it winds up doing. And this is something that we really have to be aware of in social media. And it has played so far as to even influence our political structure. Because right now what we're talking about, when you're talking about Project 25 is basically the desire to change the language of the Constitution. Project 25 is the desire to change abortion rights, the desire to change the wording, and in turn, changing the wording, then they basically change the understanding. So everything that's being, when you hear Project 25, just basically remember that's what it is. It's the desire to make changes of what the Justice Department can do, the desire to make changes to Social Security and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, because we already have a model of what government is. And that model is the United States Constitution here in America. And the administrations of the government that we know of, I'm talking about the pioneer generations, the way that the governments, the offices of the government operate, we understand that. But what they want to do is they want to come in and they want to change the government structures. They want to change the language, and if you change the language, then it's a justification to change the desire. To change the desire means to change the way that a people respond and react to it, because they basically come to understand, well, it's law. Well, you know, that's what it is. So this is what social media is doing. This is what social media is capable of. This is what social media has the ability to change our children. Because basically, we as the pioneer generation, we're going to follow. We have fallen into a lifestyle that works for us. We have fallen into an understanding that we have. And that understanding that we have has formed and formulated our life. So I'm saying that to you to say this, that our lifestyle, as far as being Muslim is concerned, our life is predicated on the Holy Quran and the lifestyle of our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. That's what they mean. The Holy Quran is a book of guidance. And if we follow that guidance as far as the way to conduct our life, then our external desires will be that we are going to, at 5 o'clock in the morning, we're going at 4 o'clock in the morning, we're going to go ahead and make the prayer. That's what we're going to fashion ourselves after. Our lifestyle is going to be that the way that we're going to think according to the way the Quran thinks, the way the Quran influences us to think. Our sisters are going to cover themselves, and they're going to dress a certain way because we are told, our sisters, our women are told to cover themselves. And you know the fashion style that has happened today as far as the brothers is concerned. You know, our brothers start dressing like, you know, people that come from the East because they start wearing robes and they start wearing kufis and they start wearing jalabiyas and walking around in sandals. But it is, you don't have to do that. You don't have to, you know, copy that. Because the most important thing for men and women my computer went down, so I'm just rebooting it. Let me see. Yeah, there we go. So the basic idea is, you know, to dress modestly and to cover yourself. That's what it is. It's basic. Just cover yourself. We don't have to dress with, you know, like our with hoodies. We don't have to do that. But our children and grandchildren might be dressing in hoodies because that's what the fashion is. They might, you know, want to wear a certain kind of sneaker because that's what the fashion is. So it is really, it winds up being important. It's really important that what we have to do is we have to continue to pull our family back to, when I'm saying pulling them back, I'm talking about getting the external models that they might look at when they're on social media and they're scrolling on Instagram and they're scrolling on Facebook and all these other media platforms. The question that we have to ask our children is, did you make your prayers? Do you take the time to stop scrolling and make your prayer? Did you take the time and did you make sure that before you left the house that you was covered? Are you following the example? You say you Muslim, then are you following the example of covering yourself? Are you following that example of covering yourself? Are you following the example of, instead of scrolling all day, are you tell me something about the Quran? Oh yeah. Oh, you know how to say Al-Fatiha. Good. Now, what does it mean in English? So our responsibility is to make sure that our children and grandchildren have an understanding about what the example of if they say they're Muslim, then they say that, you know, what's the example that they're following. And if we are giving them the right example, then we are following the example of Prophet Muhammad, and we are implementing the five pillars of Islam.
okay, which is bearing witness that there's no God but Allah, okay? We are making the prayer. We are giving in charity. We are being charitable to humanity, just charitable in the family with each other, because that's the first place that it starts, being charitable to each other, and for our children to understand that's what charity is, to give to the family members, to give to mother, to give to father, to give to the other family members, to give to our community, our masjid, and for them to understand that is what you call zakat and charity. Okay, to fast during the month of Ramadan. Okay? Because that is the example. That is the external desire that we follow. And that is why it is important that we, as Muslims, set the example for the rest of the world by living the organic lifestyle. That's our responsibility. We don't have to really even say anything. All we have to do is live the life. But the problem sometimes that we have, I'm going to tell you. The last major Arabic-style mosque in China loses its dome. Experts say changes to Grand Mosque of Shadian mark completion of 5-year sinification. All right? Okay, sinification. What is sinification? Let me see. I don't like that meaning. We're going to do it here. S-I-N-I-F-I-S. Sinification. The act or process of making something more Chinese in character or bringing something under Chinese influence. So you've heard of this, that they have been telling Muslims in, I think it was in northern part of China, that they have closed down their masjids and they have put them into concentration camps where they are being forced to be more Chinese than to express more Chinese than to express being Muslim. They have camps where they now are sending people in China. And I'm sure you know about this. Well, that's what sinification is. In China, The Chinese Communist Party wants to make sure that outside influences don't come in and take over Chinese culture. So that's what sinification does. That's what they're doing. They want to make sure that outside forces don't come in and take over Chinese culture. And they do it by force. Okay? They do it by force. So they have a mosque that is was the Shadian mosque, masjid. It's the last major mosque in China to have retained, listen, Arabic style features. And they have lost its domes and have its minarets radically modified, marking what experts say is the completion of a government campaign to sinicize the country's Muslim places of worship. The Grand Mosque of Shadian, one of China's biggest and grandest mosques, towers over the small town from which it takes its name in southwestern Yunnan province. Until last year, the 21,000, I don't have to go any further. Because there's a point I'm looking to make, and the point I'm looking to make is this: that the Chinese Communist Party does not want Arabic influence to impose itself on Chinese culture.
So that's why, you know, you hear about what they did as far as the Muslims in China is concerned. That's the reason why they're doing it. Because the Muslims in China have gone so far as to embrace more of the Arabic culture than the Chinese culture. That's what it is. But can we say the same thing for America? Yes, we can. So when we start to say that we want to be the examples in American culture, then what we want is they don't want the Arabic culture to impose itself on American culture. They don't want that. When they talk about make America great again, that's what they're talking about. That's what they fear. They fear that other cultures are going to come into the country and overtake the American culture. You know, apple pie, baseball, American dress, the Constitution. That's what they don't want to happen. So then they're going through all these extremes to make sure that those things don't happen. So our responsibility as far as let me say this here because this is the other point that I wanted to make. Our children are going to colleges and universities. They go to colleges and universities so that they can mimic the mindset of the subjects that they study. So when you start to talk about you going to study psychology, what winds up happening is that you're going to study Sigmund Freud and other psychologists and the ideas that other psychologists had concluded. And then what you have to do in order to get a degree, you have to mimic. You have to say, your paper has to be approved by a professor that basically says that, okay, I've heard what you said, and I've heard what you understand, and I'm going to give you a passing grade because you have mimicked the idea that we're putting forward. Now, do we have that as far as, I'm talking about family members, do we have that as far as watching our children mimic being Muslim? I'm talking about the ideas that have been given to us by Prophet Muhammad, but not only that, but by the Honorable Master Elijah Muhammad and by Imam W.D. Muhammad. Are they mimicking that? Are they presenting those kinds of examples? These are the ideas that we have to watch out for. These are the ideas that we have to make sure influences our family. And that's how you address social media. I'm not saying that, you know, like it's not okay to participate in social media because it's very entertaining. Social media is entertaining. But we have to watch our children and our grandchildren. We have to watch them. And we have to watch what it is that they're taking in. Because remember, you know, if they go to school, they're taking in public education. And it's more than just learning about reading, writing, and arithmetic. It's also learning about ideas, about historical ideas. It's all about learning about social ideas. They're basically saying they are social ideas that may be against your religious ideas, but according to American culture, these ideas are acceptable.
as far as transgender, LGBTQ, those are socially accepted ideas. And if they're socially accepted ideas, then it's okay to do. Well, you know, it's not against the law. Oh, no, it's not against the law. But so that means that you can do it. It's not against the law to smoke some herb. It's not against the law to smoke herb. But we could do it. But as far as being Muslim is concerned, it says don't come to prayer intoxicated. You know, don't come to prayer intoxicated. Be careful of what you participate that's intoxicating. And so herb might be one of those things, alcohol, et cetera, et cetera. Even though it's legal in American culture, but what it is that it's intoxicating. In the process of being intoxicating, it can also be habit-forming, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So living in the upload life, this is the ideas and the influences that our children and grandchildren get, and we can get from it too. When you go on Facebook and you see the Muslim brothers and sisters that are posing, basically posing, you know, they take these nice pictures and put them up. What's that all about? Is this a model of desire that they're looking for? Is this a model of desire that they're looking for? When we go on these social media platforms and Muslims make statements, there are statements that are basically made on Facebook and others. Let me see something here. Okay, so Mary J. Blige says it's whack that wealthy women have to pay alimony. Okay. That's one. Where can I find the chapter and verse in the Holy Quran that states explicitly and specifically that music is haram, forbidden for Muslims? Now, this is a conversation that has gone on Facebook for many, many years, the whole idea about halal and haram as far as music is concerned. But this person, you know why this person put it up? This person put it up because he knows that that's a spot, that's a tender spot for Muslims to respond to. That's why the person put it up. And so what it does is it brings about conversation. And that's what the person wanted. The person wanted to bring up conversation. And that's why they did it. That's why they put it up there. What takes precedence and priority for Muslims? Quran or Hadith? The Quran doesn't say music is haram, and yet the Hadith does. So this person knows that this is a conversation sparker. That's why they put it up. So that's what you'll find on. That's what you'll find on something like Facebook or YouTube. So YouTube will tells you how to brilliantly articulate your opinion. You say, I have a desire to brilliantly articulate my opinion. So you go ahead and press it. They say, oh no, Donald Trump's campaign implodes over a catastrophic weekend. Why did they do that? Because they want someone to click that to find out how Donald Trump implodes. But when it comes to Imam WD Muhammad, it's very basic. The Ibrahim Baha Center says, WDM Saviors Gave Sensitive Issues in Black History. You know, it's not sensational enough. That's not sensational enough. But why would that be quick? It would be quick because this is someone that wants to understand Imam W.D. Muhammad, has a respect for Imam W.D. Muhammad, and wants to see how he addresses the issues, sensitive issues in Black history. But now here it is. Here's another one. How Buddhist monks hacked the modern world. Okay? Organic wildfire. How Vance's cat lady's comment continues. Ooh, I wanna click that. I wanna click that to find out how that is. So these are the little tropes, these are the little suggestions that are put on social media that we respond to, but more so to how our children and grandchildren are going to respond to in the future. And so it becomes important for us. I got like almost 15 minutes left. And if you want to comment or you have like something that you'd like to say, then press one on your phone and I'll bring you in. But I'm saying this to say that it is important for us to stay on top of the game. It's important for us continuously bring our children and our grandchildren back. You say you're Muslim? Okay. If you say you're Muslim, then, you know, remember that, you know, Allah is the only God. Allah is the God. Allah is the one that created everything. So don't get it. Don't get things twisted about how much power that someone else has over you. Don't get it twisted about that. Know that the one that has allowed you to exist, that is the one. That is the one that is always in control. And we don't have time to really go into any deep discussion as far as that's concerned. But when you say la ilaha illallah, when you say that, that's what you're saying, that there is no God but Allah. And remember the whole idea about Prophet Muhammad coming into Mecca. They had 360 gods. And you think they don't have 360 gods today? It was something that somebody put on Facebook. They said, if there's only one God, why are there 4,000 religions? And the answer is, the answer that I wrote was because there are 6 billion people on the earth with opinions. And that's all idol worship is that somebody comes up with an idea and everybody else follows it. You're looking for followers. On Facebook, they're looking for likes. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for followers. They're looking to be someone to be engaged in their opinions. This whole idea about music, this, like I said, this is something that's gone on for years on the internet. And you think the person is doing it because he really wants to ask the question? He knows that it's a controversial topic. But he's saying it because he wants someone to respond to him. That's why he's saying it. He's looking for likes. He's looking for followers. So I have a call. I'm going to go ahead and take this call. 810-399. Assalamu alaikum. Your microphone is open.
Well, I'm making my salam to you, Brother William Kareem, and to the AM360 family. This is the Preta Abdul Hadi calling from Flint, Michigan. I just wanted to make a quick comment there. And I'm listening to your presentation and pulling it together in the terms of how it's relating to the upload factor. This day and the examples that, you know, that you give in terms of how our children are responding to technology today. This is the very reason why it's so important for us in the generation that we're in, the pioneer generation, is to be able to articulate to our children and our grandchildren how to read the Quran so that they'll be able to decipher from that information how to be their own person in the Quran. And it's there,
yes.
And it's not, you know, it's not being like, oh, and you old-fashioned and you can't, you know, be a part of the modern world today because, you know, the Quran is a living book. And
yes.
It's the fashion for, if you want to, for all time. Because, and I say fashion because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Musawwir, the fashioner. And this, the
yes.
Quran is his word, will, and way. So we have to learn we have to teach our children, learn ourselves, and then teach it to our children and our grandchildren how, as you were saying earlier, to articulate that information and put it into practice on this 21st century that we're living in the low life. Thank you so kindly, and keep up the great work. I do appreciate your program every week. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. Wa alaikum assalam. And thank you so very much, my sister, the preacher Hadi, for those comments. Of course, those comments are true, and I agree with you. That is what our responsibility is. And what we really have to understand is that we have to be able to say, I did the best I can as far as my children is concerned. I did the best that I could to give them the guidance of Quran. I did the best that I could to be the example for them. It's going to be important because even if they reject our example, believe me, they will come back to the example. And this, they're talking about the internal desire that they, because remember, we are the first teachers, and just by them living, our children and grandchildren living with us over a period of time, they can see what works, what has worked in our life. And when they see what has worked in their life, they might go out there and experiment with other lifestyles. They might go out there and experiment, you know, with things. But when they find out, because eventually they will find out that it doesn't work, what they will do is they will look to the examples that they had in their life. I know a young lady that I taught in the Clara Muhammad School. She was brilliant, brilliant. And today I see her, and she is taking in the culture, just taking it all in. She's very successful. I mean, she's eating in the best of places. She's dressing in the best of clothing. She's driving the best of vehicles. She's showing on social media some of the exotic places that she's visiting. She's not even covering right now. But I know the degree, I know the foundation that she has. I saw it working for her. I saw the foundation of Islam working for her all through her school life. I saw her graduate. And it's not only, but this, it's just, I'm saying, and there are many of our children that have graduated from the Clara Muhammad School. And what we wind up doing, we wind up setting a foundation for them. And that foundation, if we set this Muslim lifestyle for them, they will come back to it. Inshallah, they will come back to it. But if not, most times, the human being always gets to the point in life. And it might be when they're 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years old, they might get to that point where they got to call on somebody, because everybody else that they've called on doesn't work, and then eventually they wind up having to call on God, to call on Allah. Eventually, they're going to have to. And then the adjustment, that's when the adjustment period will come. So it's important. We pioneers, we continue to set that example for our children and our grandchildren, that we continue to live the five pillars of Islam, that we continue to say that there's no God but Allah, and to believe that and to show them that, yeah, you know, I know that there are other gods out there. I know there are 4,000 religions out there, but there's only one God. Don't follow the opinions of other people, well, you, because you have one of them 360 gods. No, follow the oneness. Know that the creator of the heavens and the creator, remember that. See, we say it all the time, the creator of the heavens and the earth. We say that all the time. But every little thing that has been created has been by design of Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Everything, from the smallest element, those elements come together to make other things. H2O, hydrogen and oxygen coming together. No one else could make that. No one else could make that. That is the creator of the heavens and the earth that did that. The sperm and the egg coming together. No one else could do that. And it's not only in the human species, but in all of the species, the sperm and the egg, the male and the female, the positive and the negative come together to create everything that there is. So for our children to understand that, for our children to understand what our prophet, you know, what Prophet Muhammad, why is Prophet Muhammad important? Why is he important? Why is Prophet Muhammad important? Well, you can find out tomorrow on The Lives of the Prophets, because I'll be back here tomorrow at 8 a.m., and we have gone over The Lives of the Prophets by Ibn Kathir, or The Stories of the Prophets by Ibn Kathir. It took us a year and a half to go from Adam to Muhammad. So, you know, last week we started on Adam again. So, but by the time we went through it, I know that by the time I went through the whole thing, I had a very good understanding of our prophets and the reasons why they were here and why they are so important, and especially Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, why he was the last prophet. And a person asked me that, why is Prophet Muhammad the last prophet? Why? Well, and you know, a Christian person is. She's asking me that. Yeah. Well, as a matter of fact, she might have been Christian, but you know, she's Muslim too. But you know, yeah. Well, why does he have to be the last prophet? Oh, why can't a woman be a prophetress? So we have to come to understand our religion, of course, because Islam is able to answer all these questions, all of the questions. And the questions can be answered by studying the Quran and studying the life of Prophet Muhammad, by also listening to the vernacular that is presented to us here in an American circumstance by Imam W.D. Muhammad. Be careful about following, you know, other vernaculars, other ways of understanding things from our international brothers and sisters. This is not to say that we shouldn't. Sure, we should. You know, especially if it's right. But can you understand, but do you understand how to make that difference? It's just like they will say, just like in this presentation that was made, they said mimetic desire. And they was all basically saying mimic, to mimic. external desires. They're talking about, you know, people that are out on the outside, rap stars, fashion models, et cetera, that influence us, as opposed to internal desires. The people that, like family members that you want to mimic, your family members, but they change the language. Make sure that our children stay connected to our religion. All right, so that's basically it. Anybody else? And today at 10 o'clock is going to be a new day for Al-Islam in America, reviving the Quran and Sunnah with our brother Ibn Yaqub Islam right here on Blog Talk Radio. Alhamdulillah, Blog Talk Radio is working. But you know that we also have alternate numbers in place, and it's important that you should copy down the alternate number for our new day for Al-Islam in America, which is 971-379-9162, because if Blog Talk Radio is not working, then that is our alternate number. American Muslim 360 has an alternate number, and IWDM Radio has an alternate number, just in case Blog Talk goes down. I haven't heard back from CARE, the Council of American Islamic Relations, because we took out a complaint with them because Blog Talk Radio has had issues all year long. They've had issues. We pay religiously. Well, I shouldn't say, but I won't say religiously, but we pay faithfully, continuously every month. We give them the service fee, and that means that their platform is supposed to work for us. It's supposed to work for us. And if it's not working for us, then that winds up being a problem. They're not giving us a credit either. They haven't given us, I know they haven't given a New Day for Islam in America a credit for it. So that's another thing. The other part that I want to tell you is that, here it is, let me do this. My computer's a little slow, and I think it's because of, you know, American Muslim 360. Okay, so that's not, that's not working the way that I want it to work. Okay, so that's not working the way that I want it to work. All right, so, okay, here we go. All right, so let's see what we have here. Today is the 29th. Okay, today at 1 o'clock is Muslim American Power 5 on American Muslim 360. Okay, so we have a New Day for Al-Islam Community Radio from 10 to 1, and then 1 o'clock we have Muslim American Power 5 right here on American Muslim 360, and then tonight at 5 p.m. we have Optimal Health and Maya Al-Makuli House. That's going to start at 5 o'clock. Right, Optimal Health starts at 5 o'clock, and then Maya Al-Kuli, I believe, it starts at 7. All right, so that's the presentation for today that we'll be looking at. Thank you so very much, brothers and sisters, for tuning in today. I pray that I didn't say anything wrong, and that, you know, there may have been something that you may have gotten from it. But until next time, what we're going to do, we're going to go out with this.
Assalamu alaikum. This is the Preeta Hadi, host of Al-Islam and Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360, inviting you to join me Saturday evening at our new time, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, as we continue to share inspiring and thought-provoking Islamic education. Inshallah, I will see you in the lab at our new time, 5 to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Saturday evening. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you for joining me.